All right, Tabosi, let's begin. So I want to share with you.
I got more here.
Yeah, there's plenty. It's also, right, Tama is on the table. So I want to share with you what I think is a really, really beautiful ideal that I think has some incredible and overwhelming profundity associated with it. So we're going to look at the Rebbe based on the Pasuk. This is in Parachov Gimel Pasuk Yigimel. So remember again, at the beginning of the parasha, Sari Menu passes away, and Avram Avinu has to tend to her burial needs. So the first thing Avram Avinu does is he goes ahead and he purchases Maras HaMachpelah. So there's this interesting exchange between Avraham and Ephron. Avram comes to Ephron because Ephron Achiti is the owner of the Ma'ara. So Avram comes to Ephron, he says, Ephron, I'd like to purchase Maras HaMachpelah for you. It's actually a fascinating discussion. Ephron says, please, you don't have to pay anything. You're so chashiv, you're so important, I don't want to give anything. You know, it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to give it to you. Avram insists, no, please, I really would like to go ahead and pay. And we know how the story ends. Not only does he pay, but he pays retail, right? So this is before Matan Torah. This is before Matan Torah, before Har Sinai. Jews were still paying retail, right? Monotheists were still. So there's a lot to be understood in this, first of all, just in general, about Avram Avinu understanding the nature of getting favors from certain people. You know, there are certain people who you could accept favors from, and there are other people who you're just better off not accepting favors from, because those favors come with all other types of strings and expectations. Avram Avinu realizes that, you know what, if I go ahead and I get a favor from Ephron, I'm going to be beholden to him. And being beholden to him comes with its entire own set of baggage. So Avram Avinu actually makes it such an incredible mussar. I'd rather pay retail than be beholden. Right? I'd rather pay retail and be my own mensch than to go ahead and get a bargain and get a deal, but have to feel like I'm indebted or beholden to someone. So we'll say, so the Rebbe picks up on the pasuk over here. It's pasuk Yud Gibel. Pasuk Vaidaber Alafron Bozne Ama Aretz Neymar. So Avram Avinu says to Ephron, I want to pay. There's no need to handle. There's no need to negotiate. I want to pay full price. I want to pay you the kesef male. Just tell me, name your price, whatever your price is, I'm willing to pay it. So the Rebbe here says something amazing. So we'll say, so look towards the bottom where it says, Lukuti halachas. Look on the right hand column. Nasati kesef asad kach mimeni. So the Rebbe writes, Avraham, Dochok atzmo liknos maras hamachpelah kesef malei daika. So the Rebbe says something amazing. Avraham Avinu pushed himself to buy. Rebbe says kesef malei means two things. By the way, you know, in biblical times, even past biblical times, so it's not like we have currency today, which is coined. Currency was made of precious metals. So depending how much precious metal content there was in a coin, so you could have a coin that's called a zuz, but not every zuz is worth the same because one zuz has more silver, one zuz has less silver. So Avraham Avinu is makbid. He's careful not only to pay the full price, but to also use the highest form of, what's the right word? Not coinage, currency, the highest value currency. So the Rebbe says, it's very interesting. Avram dachak atzmo liknos marasa machpelah bekesel adar. Now, you have to understand something. You know, when you think about marasa machpelah, so it's not like today, you go to Chevron, right? And there's the incredible structure, there's a pizza store, there's a mikvah, there's bathrooms, you know, it's with Wi-Fi, right? With Wi-Fi even. Right? So, you know, remember again, what's marasa machpelah? In the times of Ephron Achit, times of Armavino, it's a field. It's a fallow field with literally a cave. That's all there is. This is not prime real estate by any stretch of the imagination. Yet Avram Avinu pushes himself to pay full price and the highest level currency. So the Rebbe says something very interesting. This is not the only example we have of this. We'll say, I'm in the Lukutei Halachos, the right-hand side column, five lines down. V'chein David. We see another example of this. David HaMelech. What happens with David HaMelech? Kishakana es mekom habeis hamikdash me'aravna hayevusi. Sha'amar, velo ala le'elokai olo schinam. So listen to this. So the Rebbe points out, this happened again. When does it happen again? David HaMelech. What happens with David HaMelech? David HaMelech wants to purchase what is the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. Now understand something. When Yoshua comes into Eretz Yisrael, they conquer Eretz Yisrael. Interestingly enough, the one of the cities they did not conquer was Yerushalayim. when David HaMelech is king, first order of business is conquer Yerushalayim. But interestingly enough, he did not dispossess the Gentile inhabitants. In other words, if you wanted to live in Yerushalayim, that's fine. You could live in Yerushalayim. You just have to pledge your allegiance to the crown. You have to pledge your allegiance to David HaMelech. So there was a man by the name of Aravna. Aravna, interestingly enough, had a fascinating piece of property. What was his property? The Harabais. His property was what would become later on known as the Temple Mount. So David comes over to Aravna and he says, listen, we need your property because we're going to build our temple here. And Aravna says, of course, right? I would be happy to give you the property, right? I'd be happy to give it to you. And David HaMelech insists and he says, no, I will not let you give it to me for free, but rather, again, I insist on paying for it. And not only insist on paying for it, top dollar. Not only top dollar, but remember, he ends up purchasing all of the livestock and farming equipment from Aravna Hayavusi as well. He ends up purchasing everything. Again, top dollar. No negotiations. Now you could say, why is it top dollar, no negotiations? What's come the rhyme between David HaMelech and Avram Avinu? It's an important makom, but what else? They're both very wealthy. So you could say, listen, you know what? Avram Avinu's got better time to do better stuff to do with his time than handle. David HaMelech has better stuff to do with his time than bargain. They have the money, Baruch Hashem, so just pay it. But the Rebbe says, no. There's something deeper that's unfolding over here. He says, "Kimo shekasav bezara kadosh ki elu hamakomos hayu kedoshim bekedusha nora amahod." So we'll say, both of these spaces, you know, the Zohar writes. The truth is, Lubavitcher writes about this. Rabbi Yitzchak writes about this. That there are three different types of Kiddusha. There's a Kiddusha in time, there's a Kiddusha in space, and there's a Kiddusha of the individual. So there's time, space, individual. Harabayis, right? The lot of land of Ravna Yevusi, Kemara Samachpela, these places possessed an incredible infusion of holiness. They possessed an incredible amount of Kiddusha. Shei Mara Samachpela, Shu Shari Gan Eden, Shederach Sham Olin Kolana Shamos La Itzachayim. What was special about Mara Samachpela is actually quite amazing. So apparently, again, wherever you pass away and wherever you're buried, the portal to Gan Eden is over Mara Samachpela. So every neshama passes through Mara Samachpela on its way up to Gan Eden, on its way up to Shemayim. The portal between heaven and earth, between the earthly abode and the Gan Eden abode, is over Ma'ara Samachpela. Shesham Olin Kolan Hashemos La'itzachayim. So that's the importance of Ma'ara Samachpela. Not just as a burial site, it's actually quite amazing. Not just as a burial site, but the importance of Ma'ara Samachpela is that it occupies the spot directly underneath the portal to Gan Eden. The portal that every single neshama has to pass through in order to get to the world to come. What about V'chei Makom Beis HaMikdash, Hu Shara Shamayim Chulei V'chulei. Now remember again, the Beis HaMikdash also stands right beneath what? The portal to the heavens. Now again, whereas Ma'ara Samachpela is the portal through which earthly beings ascend heavenward when they die, the portal over the Beis HaMikdash is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers down bracha to this world. So it's actually an incredible, incredible, dramatic relationship over here between Chevron, Ma'ara Samachpela, and the Harabayis Yushalayim. Ma'ara Samachpela Chevron is the portal between this world and Gan Eden. Every neshama must pass through it in order to ascend on high. The Beis HaMikdash Harabayis is directly beneath the portal to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. That's the portal through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers all bracha upon this world. And therefore again, Ve'ikr Kiddushasam, Hu Shesham Hiskalus Hashkacha B'Yoser, Sheze'ikr Kiddushas Yisrael. So the Rebbe says that what? So remember again, the common denominator between both of these places is there are places in which there is a greater manifestation of the divine presence. Remember again, by the Harabayis, the site of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, the Gemara says that Beis HaMikdash Shalmala is Muchuvan Keneged Beis HaMikdash Shalmata. The celestial Beis HaMikdash is directly above the earthly Beis HaMikdash. So that portal is there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know. The truth is, anyone who's ever had the schus to go to Daven by the Kotel, you know. It's a different kind of experience. You know, but the amazing part is, you know, people say, sometimes get upset because, you know, they go to the Kotel and there's so many people collecting tzedakah, it's hard to concentrate. See, what people don't realize is that the impact of being at the Kotel is not necessarily in the tefillos you say. It's in the act of being there. It's in the act of being present. Remember again, the Kotel, Yerushalayim Harabais, represents Kiddushas HaMakom. It's geographic Kiddusha. The way you absorb that Kiddusha is not necessarily by anything you say, but it's simply by being present there. It's by putting your feet on that soil. That's what ultimately, again, endows you with Kiddusha. It's in these two places, Harabais, as well as Maraz HaMachpeh LaChevron, where there is a greater manifestation of the Divine. Ubevadai, Gabi Eretz Yisrael Ba'atzmo, Koma Shek Kiddusha Gedolu B'Yoser, Miskala Sham HaShkocha Yoser V'Yoser. So again, and the Rebbe says this in general is a relationship. Wherever there is greater holiness, there is a greater manifestation of the Divine. Wherever there is greater holiness, the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam can be more acutely felt. So the Rebbe goes on and he explains, Ki Ashkocha Hu Iker Kolios HaKedusha Sheikra Be'eretz Yisrael B'Sham Be'eretz Yisrael Sham Heim Eser Kedushos Ad Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. He says, up until this point, right, in Eretz Yisrael is where you have the 10 Kiddushos. Again, we're not going to get into the various levels of Kiddusha, but he points out over the various Kiddushos. Look at the left-hand paragraph. Shesham Iker His Galus Hashkacha. It's in Eretz Yisrael where ultimately, again, there is a greater manifestation of Hashkacha. V'chim Maras HaMachpelah, Sheyemuchan L'Kvuras HaAvos La'alos Derech Sham, L'Kala Bo Yisparach. So listen, fine. So therefore, I'm going to both say, we understand now the power of these two sites, the power of these two places, that each represent ultimately a portal to the celestial abode. Maras HaMachpelah, the portal through which every neshama must travel through in order to get to the Olam HaEmes. The Beis HaMikdash, the portal through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers bracha down into this world. Wherever there's a portal, wherever there's greater Kiddusha, there's ultimately what? A greater divine manifestation. So now we understand why Avram Avinu, he sensed this. It wasn't just random that he went ahead and he bought the Maras HaMachpelah. He sensed the Kiddusha in the place and sensed the need to acquire it. David HaMelech senses the Kiddusha in the place. But look what the Rebbe says. He goes on. Aval ilu hamakomos hayutachas yad hasitra achra eitzel Ephron v'aravna hayivusi. Now, we'll say there's something amazing to contemplate here, which is both of these places, Maras HaMachpelah and the Harabayis, were both under foreign control. They were both under what Rebbe calls the Sitra Achra. Now, Arav Mahayevusi, we have no reason to think that he wasn't a good guy, but Ephron Achiti, we're able to tell from the exchange with Avram Avinu, that he was, what's the right word? Nice guy, right? Right, nice guy in quotations, right? A wise guy, right? So the Rebbe says something amazing. Both of these holy places were under the dominion of people of not the greatest standing. Ki kena davar, listen to this. Shevacho makom shene'elam kiddusha tzuma bezeh olam agashmi, hu batchila tachas yad hasitra achra kemuva. The Rebbe says something amazing. Wherever in this world you are going to find kiddusha, wherever you're going to find holiness, divine manifestation, those are going to be the places where the forces of impurity try to hold on to the most. But as I think about this in just a moment, what is the most contested piece of real estate in the entire world? The entire world? The Harabais. Mm-hmm. Right? The Harabais is the most contested piece of real estate. Right? How many wars have been waged to go ahead and hold control over a hilltop? It really is just a hilltop. Every major religion claims it in some way as its own. And by the way, Hebron is not that far behind. People say, look what happens in Hebron now. The Palestinians have 80% of the city, right? The Jews have 20%, right? And not even the full 20%, but they have 20%. And yet what? There's a constant struggle to go ahead and reclaim that last 20%. That's Jewish. You have 80%. What is the struggle? Because the Rebbe says, wherever there is Kiddusha in this world, the forces of impurity always try to co-opt it and try to take it for themselves. And when they have it, they are very reluctant to let it go. Hu betchila biyad sitra achra b'kemuva. Vikra sitra achra. Hu kufiros shalateva. Alkein, lo haya efshar lo hotziya kiddusha b'shlemus, ki im midaitam uritzonam. So we'll say, so sometimes the only way to go ahead and redeem that which is holy from the clutches of unholiness is to use a vehicle which could sometimes be very unholy, but could redeem, but could become holy if used for the right purpose. What's the paradigmatic example of something which could be used for so many unholy purposes, but if used properly could redeem itself? Money. Money. Right? Money is a perfect example. Money could be used for every illicit thing underneath the sun. Right? Money could be used for every single inappropriate want and desire. But money could also go ahead and be redeemed when used in the proper way. The Rebbe says something amazing. Sometimes in order to go ahead and wrestle holiness away from these forces of impurity, you're not going to accomplish it with Tehillim. You're not going to accomplish it with Tefillah. You're not going to accomplish it with Torah. How are you going to accomplish it? Sometimes you have to learn how to navigate the world on the world's terms. We'll say, what's the universal language that everyone loves to speak?
Money.
Money. Money. Right? Money, you put money on the table and suddenly what? I'm sorry?
Money talks.
Money talks. You put money on the table and it's an amazing thing how suddenly, Baruch Hashem, you have a whole new chevra. It's incredible, right? Yesterday they wouldn't talk to me. Now today I'm putting real money on the table and suddenly, Baruch Hashem, they're all my friends. They're all my friends. Avram understood this. David HaMelech understood this. They understood ultimately again that there were spots which were replete with incredible holiness. But the holiness was in the clutches of that which was impure. And sometimes the only way to redeem something from the clutches of impurity is to use something which the world makes impure, but that we as Jews elevate through sacred usage, through sacred repurposing. And the fundamental paradigmatic example that the Rebbe says is money. You know, we speak about this often, that the greatness of our religion is that we are not taught that in order to be holy, you have to be an ascetic, right? We're not taught that in order to be holy, you have to swear off earthly pleasures, worldly pleasures, physical pleasures. No, we're not taught that. What are we taught? Kadosh Baruch Hu made everything for us to enjoy. The caveat is enjoy responsibly. And even more, what does it mean to enjoy responsibly? Whatever you're going to enjoy, make sure it has some elevated holy purpose. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what's unfolding over here is as follows. When Avram goes over to Ephron, he says, you know the difference between me and you? The difference between me and you is that for you, it's all about the money. You talk a nice game, but at the end of the day, all you want is the money. Avram says, I want to tell you something. Money's important to me also. What's the raya that money's important? This is a very important idea. What's the raya, what's the proof that money's important to Avram Avinu? What's the proof? The proof is that when God entices him to leave and to go to Eretz Canaan, when he says, Lech Lecha, right? Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him riches. Avraham Avinu also likes money. There's no one who doesn't like money. Maybe there are some people who do like money. Right? People like money. Nothing wrong with liking money. As long as ultimately, I'm using it for the right purpose. So the dynamic over here is so incredible. So Ephron is holding on to Maras HaMachpelah. Ephron has that land that is so replete with Kedusha. That is the portal, literally, that every single soul must pass through before it ascends ultimately to Gan Eden. And Ephron, as we see, is reluctant to give it up. He talks a big game, but he's reluctant to give it up. Avram Avinu needs it. Why? Because he understands the Kedusha that is inherent in this place. So how do I get it? How do I get it? Sometimes people say you can't live in the ivory tower of spirituality. Sometimes in order to accomplish things in this world, you have to know how to engage the world on the world's terms. You see, Avram Avinu could have gone ahead and he could have given Ephron a whole drasha, a whole Shabbos Hagadol drasha, Shabbos Shuvah drasha, about the importance of Maras HaMachpelah, it's part of my destiny, this, that, and what would have happened? What would have happened? What happens to most people when they hear drashas? 2 minutes in, they're asleep, right? So Ephron would have been very frum like this, right? He would have been out cold in no time. Usually the Gentiles stay awake for longer than the Jews. That's usually the way that it works. So he would have stayed awake for four minutes, right? Avraham Avinu understood that sometimes if you want to affect change, you have to engage the world on the world's terms. Don't come here with your drushas. Don't come here with your spirituality. Come here with money. And come here with good money. And come here with a lot of money. Because sometimes the only way to navigate, this is such an incredible idea, sometimes the only way to navigate the world is to understand how the world works, to engage the world on its terms, but in doing so, show the world what it means to be a Jew. Because what is Ephron thinking while this deal is going down? What is Ephron thinking? What a fool. What a fool. This is a fallow field with a cave. With a cave. This is not some incredible agricultural parcel. This is not some land that's produced, you know, 20 times the normal agricultural yield. It is a fallow field with a cave. And this old guy is willing to pay this exorbitant amount of money. But what was Avraham Avinu showing Ephron? Showing Ephron, you know what? Money is important. But you know what's even more important? Holiness, spirituality, and securing a place where there is a manifestation of the divine. I could speak your language. I could speak it. I know how to speak your language. But I do not identify with your values at all. Because for you, Ephron, it's all about the money. I could speak the language of money because money is important to me also. But for me, it's never about the money. The money is an enabler. The money is a tool to do something bigger, to do something holier, to do something more beautiful. And the Rebbe goes on. He says, ki kesef kash bos bchol ta usam achra kfilo shel teva hu bkhinas avod zara ha ekru mach mas chem das hamam shbo tkhuvim va al kein i afshar lo hot si bilam mi pm berat on tov kim al yede mamon kimo avraham ve david. So we'll say there are two incredible, he says the yesh baze harbe 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 levar. The Rebbe says there's much here, a lot here to explain, but it's va maskilim yavinu, those who understand will understand. So the Rebbe teaches us two really incredible lessons over here. First of all, a brand new insight into the power of Harabayis and Maras HaMachpelah, that both represent portals to the celestial sphere. The Chevron Maras HaMachpelah represents ultimately, again, the portal through which every soul must pass in order to get to Gan Eden. The portal above Harabayis represents the portal through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers bracha down on this world. That's incredible in and of itself. Lesson number two. I will say there are places in this world that ultimately, again, are filled with incredible holiness. There's holiness everywhere. But there are certain places where the manifestation of the divine is more intense. Lesson number three. Wherever there is an intensity of divine presence, wherever there is a kedusha, there is always going to be a struggle between tumah and tahara. Who is going to retain control over this place? David struggles with Aravna. Avram struggles with Ephron. And lesson number four, if you want to affect change in the world, learn to engage the world on the world's terms. Learn how to speak the language of humanity. Because if all I'm doing is closeted in my ivory tower of spirituality, I may become great, but I will never be able to affect change. You have to know how to speak the language of humanity, but show them through your actions how even though you could speak the same words, you're so dramatically different. Avram and David could speak the language of negotiations, could speak the language of money, could speak the language of good money, of retail money. But yet what they teach their Gentile sellers is that for you it's all about the money. For me, money is important, but my money is only as good as the spirituality it allows me to acquire. For me, my money is only as meaningful as the spirituality it allows me to acquire. And as such, says the Rebbe, in this little story here about Avraham Avinu's acquisition of Maras HaMachpelah of Chevron, we learn not just about the burial of Sar Yimeinu, but it's learned from Avraham Avinu how to engage the world, how to engage life, and how to show the world our proper value system. Right, so it's that over here. Shkoyach.
John Peters, Walmart.